Going here. We want to welcome everyone out to our first of 2021 Wasatch Front meeting. Welcome everybody here. What we'd like to do to begin with is ask Andrea if she'll maybe take 1 second and introduce a few of our new members that we have.
Hey, Mr. Chair, could Andrea just go through and read names of the people that are here for the record before we get started?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. I'm just reading this so that it's on our recording. So
I can do it, Ben. I can do it, Andrea. Go ahead.
Okay. We have Mayor Hale, Andrea Pearson, Jim Barker, Ben Wethridge, Andrew Gruber, Commissioner Stevenson, Ryan Levitt, Tammy Moody, Mayor Silvestrini, Scott Wardle, Mayor Burton, Wayne Bennion, Ben Wethridge, Rosie Hernandez, Commissioner Kamalu, Mayor Marshall, Mayor Berube, Ned Hacker, Rob Jolly, Trustee Beth Holbrook, Blaine Fackrell, Mayor Lewis, Nikki Navio, Mayor Arvey, Mike Newton, everybody jumped around, okay, Hugh Van Wagenen, Justin Smart, Mayor Allen, Megan Townsend, Maddie Hatterline, Mayor Shepherd, Ben Hewitt, Ari Bruning, Ted Knowlton, Ryan Beck, Amber Gonzalez, Amy Winder Newton, Trustee Carlton Christensen, Dina Blaze, Tyler, I'm not sure.
It's a...
Okay. Nate Peterson, Evan Curtis, Lauren Victor, Mayor Ramsey, Bert Granberg, Mayor Dandoy, Mayor Bigelow, Commissioner Jim Harvey, Mayor Wynn, Steve Van Maren, Mayor Timothy, Commissioner Jeff Scott, Wendy Thomas, Chris Bleak, Jeannie Lambert, Kyler Brower, Marsha White, Russell Weeks, Christy Dahlberg, Josh Reynolds, Nicole Mendelson, Alfred Knotts. Thank you.
Okay, appreciate that, Andrea. One thing we would like to point out real quick is at least four of the new people we have. We have Mike Newton, who's the Morgan County Commissioner, Amy Winder Newton, Salt Lake County Councilperson, Scott Wardell, Twilla County Councilperson, and also Senator Harper, who will be joining us this year. And if we missed anybody, please let us know, but we want to welcome everybody again and also the new people joining the council. The first item on our agenda will be our consent items. We have minutes from October 22nd and also the financial statements and check registers from September, October, and November of 2020. Could we get some motion on that?
Mr. Chair, Jeff Silvestrini, I will make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Is there a second?
Mark Shepherd, second.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the consent items that we've just listed. All in favor, please say aye. Wave your hand or whatever we
aye.
Can see.
Aye.
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 Okay.
Aye.
Thank you. Great. Aye. We do have a quorum. And also, I wanted to mention that I dropped the council packet materials in the chat box.
Yes. Is there any opposed on that? Okay. That is unanimous. We appreciate it. We'll now move down to the chair's report, item two. One of the things I would like to do at this time, we have been working pretty hard for the past a little over 6 months in reworking Andrew's contract, which actually expired last year. At this point in time, as actually the last official thing that I would do as chairman, I am going to sign the contract that we've worked with him. Just a few highlights on it is that the executive committee that we've actually worked on this with him have convinced Andrew to please sign on to a 10-year contract. We do not want Andrew going anywhere. Andrew's been an absolutely marvelous addition for the past number of years, and we want that to stay that way, hopefully until the end of his career. So with that, I have my trusty, as you can see here, this is my trusty ink pen that I actually purchased in Venice, Italy. And this is only the second time I've used it, and I only use it for special occasions. So, Andrew, I'm going to sign this right now. I'm going to holler and have one of our assistants come in to watch me sign it. If you give me 1 second, I'm going to holler at him, and we're going to do this right now with everybody watching.
Mr. Chair, one question.
Sure.
I just want to compliment you from upgrading from a crayon.
Hey, come on in, please.
I wasn't expecting this kind of live action meeting, but it's, I'll take it.
So anyway, we have Cindy here who's going to witness this as far as this goes. Hopefully I don't mess the signature up. We've tried to do this on some good parchment paper to try to show the impressiveness of how we are, Andrew, and we do appreciate you.
Well, it's an honor and a privilege. Thank you very much.
I even put an ink splot on it. So it's definitely official if you can see the ink splot with the real stuff there. So anyway, Andrew, congratulations. Get this to you. And, you know, you've been a wonderment to work with. I've thoroughly enjoyed everything that you've taught me over the past couple of years, and look forward to working with you hopefully for at least another couple. So,
well, it's a pleasure to serve all of our communities. And if nobody objects, we can move on, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So we'll now move down to basically the election of our chair and vice chair. We've also been working on this with the executive committee for since last October. We had actually representatives from the six counties that worked with us on this group. Commissioner Summers, Ogden City Mayor Caldwell, Sean Milne from Tooele County, Mill Creek Mayor Jeff Silvestrini, Morgan County Council Person Tina Cannon, and again myself as chair. The nominating committee met and unanimously nominated for 2-year terms Mill Creek Mayor Jeff Silvestrini to be the new chair, and also Box Elder County Commissioner Jeff Scott to be the vice chair for the Wasatch Front. What we need to do at this time is basically take a vote of support from the board. This also will take effect immediately. So once we do this, I'm going to go back to eating my salad and my cookie that I have, and Jeff's going to take over with it. So if I could get a motion to approve those two names at this time.
Motion to approve names as presented.
Okay, Jim Harvey made a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate you, Mayor. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That is unanimous. Thank you all. It's been absolutely wonderful working with you. And Mayor Jeff, it's all yours now.
Well, thank you, Bob. And I just want to say to the members of the Regional Council, thank you for your confidence in me. And I will do my best to serve the council this year. And boy, you have no idea what you've just done. But I also want to thank Bob for his service the last 2 years. You know, Bob has done a terrific job as chair. He's been a great mentor to me and to, I'm sure, others on this council. He has given it his all. He has devoted a ton of time that a lot of the other members of the council may not even notice. We have some guys here from Washington, D.C. That are going to talk to us later about our legislative outreach. But Bob has been involved with them and talking to all of our legislative delegation repeatedly. He is constantly doing stuff. So and you've just been marvelous at it. And we're not, like Andrew said, I don't think we're going to let you go because you're too good at what you do. So thank you for your service, though. And I want to at least give you a round of applause for what you've done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, may I briefly also say on behalf of the staff and myself personally, it has been a real pleasure and honor to work with Commissioner Stevenson as the chair. Bob, as he tells us to call him, he is incredibly dedicated for Davis County, but not just Davis County, for the region and for the state. And if you know anything about Bob, you know that he genuinely cares about the people around him. He cares about me. He cares about, he reaches out to me and asks, how's the WFRC staff doing? Is there anything I can do to help? He's a wonderful person and a dedicated person and leader. And if he was here, we would be able to present to him in person this token of our appreciation, which reads, presented to Commissioner Bob Stevenson, Chair, Wasatch Front Regional Council 2019 to 2020, thank you for your friendship and leadership from all of us at WFRC. So, Bob, thank you again.
Thanks to all. I appreciate again. Wonderful friendships we've made.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks again. So, okay, onward, I guess. So the next action item that we have, pursuant to the organizing documents and bylaws of the Regional Council, the chair is charged with making appointments to the council's various committees, and those include the Regional Growth Committee, the Transportation Coordinating Committee, or TRANSCOM, the Active Transportation Committee, the Budget Committee, and the Economic Development District, as well as the Joint Policy Advisory Committee. So, and some of the appointments to these are made by the various county COGs in our region as well, and other entities. So in the chat box, I believe, is a link to the list, basically. And I just want to say that the nominating committee and the executive committee have talked about these committee appointments and tried to make appointments that achieve balance throughout the region. We like to see representation of both cities and counties in our region, and we want to make sure that we have every geographic area is represented, rural, urban, everything. So based upon that advice, essentially, I'd like to propose to appoint the people that are in there. The changes, most of the people are holdovers that have already serving and have indicated a willingness to continue to do so. And the changes are highlighted in yellow in that form. And so I propose to appoint them. And actually, I'd like to hear any discussion that we have, or otherwise ask for the full regional council to basically ratify these appointments.
Mr. Chair, I might just note that as you said already, I want to emphasize that the majority of the appointments that are listed here are reflective of what you all did at your COG meetings over the course of the past month as I visited each of the COGs in the region. So thank you to everybody for your willingness to serve in all of these roles.
Mr. Chair,
I make a motion that we approve the changes of the committee chairs and vice chairs as presented.
Thank you, Mayor Hale.
Mayor Hale, just to clarify, is that a motion to approve the entire membership document, not just the chairs and vice chairs?
It is. If it's extended further, I can just see the chairs and vice chairs.
So that's page one. You should be able to just keep scrolling.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes.
And in fact, just so you know, as Mayor Silvestrini noted, it breaks out the membership of each of the committees, and then it also shows the membership by each county in the region. So all of the data is there, sliced and diced in whatever way you want to look at it.
Now, I amend my motion to include all of the council members and their counties and who they represent.
Do we have a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, so we have a motion by Mayor Hale, seconded by Commissioner Stevenson to approve those appointments. All in favor signify by saying aye or raising your hand and waving at me.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, those appointments are approved then. Thank you very much. And I look forward to serving with each of you. And I want to thank everybody who's serving on those committees for your service and the time that you put in. It's appreciated. And I think together we cover all the bases that we need to hit with respect to transportation planning in our region. So thanks. Okay, let's talk about legislative update. Mayor, I'm going to tag team this with Andrew. One of the things that we've been working on as the executive committee is to communicate with our new governor and staff and also the legislature about some priorities that we have. And frankly, we've heard wind that there may be some significant expenditures on infrastructure in our state this year, including potential for some bonding. So we just wanted to provide them with, you know, basically our input with respect to the principles that we hope they will adopt as they consider that type of funding. So the letter that we've sent them basically hits kind of four major bullet points. And I don't know if that's available in the chat or not, but.
Andrea is gonna pull it up on the screen. And just to be clear, it actually hasn't even been sent yet to the governor and to the legislature, but it will be soon. So you're all seeing it before it actually gets submitted.
Okay. And what it does, it talks about the principles that it talks about are wanting investing in infrastructure and indicating obviously that we support doing that, that we believe investment in infrastructure is necessary for the economic vitality of our state as well as the growth that we're experiencing. We've asked them in point two to support multimodal transportation choices, you know, roads, transit, active transportation, all those things that that basically, you know, improve the quality of life of our communities and put us on a path for the future. Another thing that we've included there that may not have been mentioned heavily before is an emphasis on improving the broadband infrastructure of our state, because that's become apparent to us about how important it is with the pandemic. And there are maybe barriers to economic development in rural parts of our state for lacking good broadband. It's a necessity for modern business. We've asked them to utilize us, basically, the professional planning and prioritization process that are exemplified by the Wasatch Front Regional Council and other collaborative agencies, county COGS and whatnot, to basically ensure that we're not just handing out pork projects, but we're implementing a coherent regional transportation plan for our state that prioritizes good projects and prioritizes them in a way to complete our transportation network and to address the most critical needs that we all agree upon, which is one of the hallmarks of our organization. And then lastly, we've asked them to be fiscally prudent, obviously. This is a great time for bonding because interest rates are so low, but the one of the reasons that we're able to bond the way we are is because of the fiscal responsibility our state has practiced so long and which gives us great bond ratings and things like that. So I think this is kind of a comprehensive letter of at least of our priorities and to indicate our support for this and to indicate that we want to be partners in all this. So Andrew, is there anything else that you want to say?
Well, I'll just ask Andrea to go back up to the top of the letter just to reemphasize that this is a joint expression of principles from WFRC, the Utah Association of Counties, the League of Cities and Towns, and the other metropolitan planning organizations in the state. We will send this around to all of you, to the members of the council. Andrew, you can drop the letter down now. I just want to just give a little more flavor to the legislative discussions around this topic. There does seem to be near consensus. In fact, I haven't heard anybody truthfully say that they don't think we should invest in infrastructure. Governor Cox proposed infrastructure investments. The speaker and the president have spoken about doing more infrastructure investment to deal with the growth issues that we confront as a state, to have continued economic activity, as Mayor Silvestrini said, potentially to take advantage of historically low interest rates. The question now is, what's the mix of the revenue sources? As we all know, there is over $1 billion in surplus revenue available to the state in FY22. How much of that money what will that money be utilized for? How much will be utilized for infrastructure? And then what about bonding and how much new bonding is authorized? It's important to note that even though interest rates are historically low and bonding can be a good tool, it is not new money. It is a financing strategy, borrowing against future revenue. So balancing one-time revenues with bond authorization is an important discussion to be had. And then I'll just say that we're really quite pleased that there seems to be a broader than ever recognition of the need to have a balanced investment approach, as Mayor Silvestrini said, in roads and transit, We're emphasizing also that it's important to invest in transportation. We've seen an unprecedented level of biking and bike sales, not just for fun and recreation on the trails, but also as a means of transportation. And in fact, there's going to be a letter, a sign-on letter going around. We'll send that to you as well, that says to the legislature and governor, hey, while you're investing in infrastructure, also invest in active transportation. It's important for air quality, for public health, and for traffic congestion. And it's just fun as well. So Mr. Chair, I think unless there's any questions, I don't have anything else on the infrastructure front.
Yeah, are there any questions or concerns or anything about this letter? I'm not seeing any, and speak now or else we're gonna send it. All right. Okay, so next I wanna talk about tomorrow at noon, the Salt Lake Chamber and WFRC, the League of Cities and Towns and Envision in Utah are sponsoring a legislative growth series. There are gonna be some other topics that will be discussed, but tomorrow, a number of us from this organization are going to be addressing that body and talking about growth, basically. So significantly, we have Derek Miller from the Chamber and Ari Bruning from Envision Utah will be speaking. There are a number of developers will be talking to us about the issues that they see with respect to best practices for housing. And then Cameron Deal, Mayor Ramsey from South Jordan, Mike Mendenhall, who's a council member from Spanish Fork and the past president of the league, and myself will be talking about the role of cities and planning for growth. And then Andrew, I guess, will be wrapping that up. So if you have interest in that, I know we can get you a link to it. It's from noon to 1:15 tomorrow, Zoom call, but should be informative and kind of reinforcing some of the same things that we do here on the regional council as in partnership with our other partners. So Andrew, anything to add on that?
Well, we will send information about that if anybody wants to sign up. Again, the target audience is the legislature, but it's open to anybody. And I think you said this, Mayor, tomorrow's session is on housing and growth issues. And then the following Friday, we'll have a session on transportation and growth issues. So we'll send you information about both of those sessions.
Okay, thanks you, Andrew. So, and then I guess next, what I wanted to talk about is, I mean, it's the legislature is in session as we speak. The council and staff have developed a bill tracker that is available on the council's website. And I think there'll be a link in the chat for that. The bill tracker is a useful tool. It contains summaries of the, if you haven't done this before, and I don't want to bore people that know this, but you know, it contains summaries of the bills and information relating to, you know, what their status is. And then also establishes, you know, policy positions that the council, regional council takes with respect to some of these bills. And we do try to stay in our lane with respect to, you know, our mission on transportation funding. This is a useful tool for all of us, and I encourage you to consult it. We have the opportunity today to basically ratify the positions that are shown on this bill tracker for staff in terms of when they, you know, are lobbying on the Hill for some of these issues. And then the other thing that, for those of you that are new at least, we have a legislative committee that meets weekly on Thursdays at 8 a.m. We used to meet in the Capitol. Now we meet on Zoom. But all of these positions on these bills are subject to being changed by that caucus, if you will. And we spend time going over each of these bills and talking about the developments that occur to them as they move through committee and as they're, you know, substituted and amended and all that. So I encourage people to participate in that if you have the time. You know, basically, I don't know, I talked with Andrew, we could go over each one of these bills and we could have probably about a 5-hour meeting and not get to the bottom of it. And I don't want to shortchange anything on this because I would like to have direction from staff by a motion at the end of my yapping about this so they know what to do. But But I don't want to shortchange the discussion on it, but it would take so long, and I'm hoping that we can get into depth more on that next Thursday. I don't know if anybody has any questions about any of them or wants to comment on any of them. Before we get to that point, I'm going to ask Andrew to talk about this as well, but I'm hoping that you're comfortable enough with a lot of how our staff advises us with respect to taking positions on these bills, that we can give them direction at the end of this. So Andrew, do you want to talk about this?
Yeah, I'll just a few brief points, Mr. Chair. Thank you. First of all, this bill tracker is the same thing that we've been sending out to you over the past few weeks. All of you get the invitations to do our weekly legislative meetings. And we always have included the bill tracker in that. Whether you've taken the opportunity to review it or not is a different question. I would say, though, that the positions and the approaches we take, we always are very careful to be consistent with our key partners at the league and with UAC. We consult with UDOT and UTA on taking any positions. I also should note to you that while there are a bunch of hot issues that are focused on local government, land use, and tax policy, we're not actively suggesting that WFRC as an organization is engaging on those. The local government entities are in the lead on that. And I know Cameron Deal is with us from the League of Cities and Towns. I told him if I needed to phone a friend, I'd appreciate him being here. So he's with us today. But I do want to note on some of these issues, it's only week two. We haven't seen legislation on bonding. We haven't seen the legislation coming out of the Commission on Housing Affordability. We haven't seen the legislation that's going to update and revise the state's approach on economic development. We haven't seen legislation that could potentially enhance transportation reinvestment zones. So a lot of the stuff that we will focus on is yet to come. With that said, Mr. Chair, we certainly would appreciate a general motion of support for the positions we've taken so that we can advocate on behalf of your interests as we go forward during the session.
Thank you, Andrew. So I'll just ask for anybody, if anybody has any questions or concerns about any of those positions that you'd like to address now before I entertain a motion on that.
Mayor, this is Laureen Kamalu, and I just want to say that this bill tracker is a ton of work, and it really is helpful and very important. I've always been impressed with it, and I'm happy to make a motion when we're ready for that.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anybody else have a question or a concern? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion, Commissioner.
So moved.
Yeah. Do we have a second? I'm not sure I heard that, but.
This is Dawn Ramsey. I'm happy to second that.
Thank you, Mayor. So we have a motion by Commissioner Kamalu and seconded by Mayor Ramsey. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any Aye. Opposed? Okay, thank you. So Andrew, you have your staff direction then, and I look forward to working with many of you on these legislative meetings. And as we know, the sausage maker is up there grinding away, and things change, and we have to react to that when it happens. So that's what we do on Thursdays to the extent we can. So I welcome everybody's participation in that. So next, we have two guests with us who I've had the pleasure of meeting before, and they represent us in Washington. So Jim Barker and Ryan Levitt are on the call, and between the three of you, or you and Andrew, take it away and tell us about what we can expect in the Washington D.C. of the Biden administration.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'll do a very brief opening remarks and then turn to Ryan and Jim to give a very brief predictions for the year or status report. There's a lot going on in Washington, of course, but focus in on the issues that we work on at WFRC most, which is infrastructure investment and the need to reauthorize the federal transportation funding and policy bill. That's the so-called FAST Act, the multi-year bill that authorizes all the funding that the federal government distributes. It expires September 30 of 2021. So on the Congress's calendar this year is hopefully taking action on that FAST Act authorization. Why does it matter to us? Well, the federal funding provides a key baseline of investment for our state roads, mainly to keep them in a good, safe working order. It provides transit projects and some maintenance and operation. And it also provides the funding that through WFRC, we allocate to you through the Surface Transportation Program, Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality, and Transportation Alternatives Program. So it's really providing key state road transit and local funding that it's really important to continue. The problem is that the principal source of funding for the federal transportation program is the gas tax, which has not been updated since. Anybody want to get know this? When was the last time it was updated?
1993.
It hasn't been updated. And does anybody know what the federal gas tax is right now?
Too low.
It's 18.5 cents.
24 cents.
3 cents a gallon. Okay. And it hasn't been updated. So just think about the decline in buying power since 1993. So what that means is that the gas tax right now is only covering about 2/3 of the federal spending. The rest of that gap is being covered by general funds or scraping in the couch cushions of the federal budget. And so there has to be something that addresses this fundamental problem so that we can have stability. Now, we as Utah transportation entities have worked together. It's the way we do things here in Utah, right? We collaborate together and we've developed a set of principles, shared principles for federal transportation reauthorization. I believe Andrea has dropped those in the chat to help us work with our delegation and the administration and Congress going forward. With that backdrop, I'm gonna turn to Jim and Ryan to give us a sort of lay of the land. Jim, Ryan?
Ryan?
Yep, thank you, Andrew. We understand this. You've all have a very busy agenda, so we'll be brief. But there is a lot going on in Washington, D.C., as I'm sure you followed in the news. Some not so good, but there are a lot of things to look forward to on the horizon. We have a new administration and a new leadership in the Congress, and a lot of these changes are going to have major impacts on transportation policy going forward. And so we really want to focus on two major items to bring to your attention in this forum. And then we're happy to entertain questions after we get through this. But the first item that is a priority for President Biden and for the Democratic controlled Congress is to address the coronavirus relief situation going on throughout the country. The new president put forward a proposal of $1.9 trillion. And some of the highlights of this bill are important for WFRC and its members. Specifically, that proposal includes $20 billion for transit aid. That's in addition to the $14 billion that was included in a bill passed by Congress in December. $350 billion for state and local governments. And then there's some other policy initiatives in it, including a $15 an hour minimum wage and $1,400 direct payments to qualifying Americans. That's added with the $600 that was passed in December, making $2,000. So the challenge of getting something like this across the finish line is it requires consensus. If there is no consensus, congressional leaders have vowed to use a privileged budget tool called reconciliation to move forward this type of legislation and be able to avert a 50 vote threshold. So that's something to keep on your radar that will have impacts for this organization and all of your members. The second item that really what Andrew teed up was the reauthorization of the Surface Transportation Program. And this is something that we anticipate to take place this year. Traditionally, this is a 5-year authorization. The last authorization expired after 5 years and then was extended for 1 year, which ends at the end of this fiscal year, September. Now, we also anticipate that will be included likely in a larger infrastructure investment bill. This is a major priority for the incoming president and the administration. They want to invest in America's infrastructure. We believe that this package will look very similar to what was passed by the House of Representatives last summer, which was called the Moving America Forward Act. It was a very aggressive transportation package that included very heavy on green initiatives and clean air. And the challenge on moving infrastructure has always been how to pay for it. And this is what Andrew really alluded to was, you know, we have the gas taxes has lost buying power, hasn't been updated in decades. And the Federal Highway Trust Fund is running in deficit. And so it's unpopular to raise the gas tax. So they're looking at other mechanisms to fund an infrastructure bill. And we're following that very closely. The last thing I'll bring to your attention before I kick it back over is our congressional delegation received new committee assignments with the new Congress. There are, I'll go ahead and add it in the chat box here that shows our delegation's committee assignments. And some highlights are, you know, Congressman Stewart continues to serve on the Appropriations Committee, which will play an active role in funding for transit accounts and transportation accounts generally, both highway and public transit. And Congressman Curtis, newly appointed to the Energy and Commerce Committee, that has a big impact on environmental and climate issues. And both Congressman Moore and Senator Lee serve on the Senate and House Natural Resources Committees. So with that, happy to hear from any questions you might have.
Does anybody have any comments or questions on this big area?
You know, Andrew and also Ryan, I serve on the National Association of Counties Transportation Subcommittee, and we can put forward policy proposals. I generally, as soon as anything comes to me, I shoot it over to Andrew. And I know that I think it's time if we have anything, and we might not right now, we might, you know, kind of agree with everything that we've seen so far, but just to mention that.
Thanks, Commissioner. And you raise a good point, which is coordination, not just among us here in Utah, but also coordination among our representatives in Washington, our associations and our representatives. National Association of Regional Councils, which is our national association, works very closely with NACO and NLC and the U.S. Conference of Mayors and others. There's actually a coalition of all of those organizations, local officials in transportation, the LOT coalition, that works together to represent us in Washington. We also work with UDOT and UTA and their associations as well. So coordination is good. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. And I'll also just mention for everybody's information, at least, is that Commissioner Stevenson and Andrew and I and Ryan and Jim had an opportunity to meet with our two new freshman congressmen via Zoom and to kind of introduce some of our issues and try to get a feel for their priorities. So we will continue to try to maintain a great relationship with them moving forward to do what we can to advance the interests of the region and in Congress. So. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Jim. Look forward to working with you. So,
thank you.
Okay. I think it's time for public comment. Andrea, I don't know if we received any public comment. Do we have anybody that wants to comment?
I have not received any notification.
Is there anybody on the Zoom that has anything that they'd like to make comment about at this time? Seeing none, then we will move on from public comment and go into our committee report. So I'd like to introduce Mayor Ramsey and ask you to give us a report from the Regional Growth Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate Commissioner Stevenson for his service and welcome. Congratulations, Mayor Silvestrini. We appreciate your service and thanks to all of you who are here. It's, you know, every time I'm on a Zoom with all of you, which it seems to be often, I remind you, I look forward to seeing you in person someday. I miss seeing you. But I am grateful to be here. We had a really great Regional Growth Committee meeting last week. Today we're going to get a little bit of a report, as we usually do, on where the Wasatch Choice Regional vision and plan has been and where it's going. There have been some fantastic workshops recently that we're going to hear more about, the 10 workshops that took place. But for those who are new, first of all, welcome. If you're new to the Wasatch Front Regional Council, welcome. And I have the opportunity to serve as chair of the Regional Growth Committee. And we really spend a great deal of time with the Wasatch Choice plan. And so I just want to give you just a little high level about what it is for those who are new. You may have heard during this last election cycle, there are a lot of candidates that say, you know, we need a plan. We need a transportation plan. We need a plan for how Utah's going to grow. And the good news is we have a plan. There is a plan, and it is this Wasatch Choice plan. It's this Wasatch Choice vision. And it's a plan that has not just been put together by the staff at WFRC. This is not just their vision. This is not just a few people. This is our combined plan. Our communities, our cities, counties, the Metropolitan Planning Associations, we have all of us on here, right? This is what we care about. This is what we're here for. This is what we're serving for. And there is a plan. And it's one that we've come up with together. And it's also a living document. This is a fluid plan because sometimes things change and sometimes they need to be amended, and there's room for that. This is a flexible plan, but it's a good solid infrastructure for the state to consider going forward. And I know that Governor Cox is grateful that we have such an outstanding plan and intends to use this plan along with the legislature to help move us forward as we grow as a state. And so, you know, this plan really contains four key elements: providing transportation choices and supporting a variety of housing options, which we'll be talking about tomorrow at the chamber event, helping to preserve open space and linking our economic development and housing with transportation choices. And so just an overview, that's what we talk about at Regional Growth Committee. And that's what a lot of people talk about. It's an important plan. We appreciate our partners in UTA and UDOT and the League of Cities and Towns, Counties and Cities, and so many of you. Envision Utah, I'm just looking, there are so many of you on here. You all know who you are, and this is our combined plan. If you are unfamiliar with the plan, the information is plentiful on the WFRC website, and most anybody who serves here after they've been here for a while, or any of the staff, can help fill you in or answer any questions. So please don't hesitate if you'd like more information or want to know how you can be more involved. There has been a great deal of involvement, and that will continue happening. So I'm going to turn it over to staff at WFRC to give just a quick a high level overview of the 10 different workshops that were held recently. Many of us participated in those workshops that were facilitated by Wasatch Front Regional Council, along with our cities and counties and the League, UTA, and UDOT. So Nikki is going to start us out. Nikki Navio, is it Navio? Navio. I asked you this last week at COG. I said, is it Navio?
Navio. That's Navio. Correct.
Thank you. Nikki Navio, thank you. I just don't want to say it wrong and have you go, she does that every time. You might be thinking that because now I ask you every time, but I just want to make sure it's right. Nikki's going to start us out with a report on what we learned and kind of how things went with the workshops relevant to those of us here on the council. And then we'll turn some time over to Ted and ask Ted to give us a little bit more information. So looks like Ted just shared the link to the Wasatch Choice 2020 workshops in the chat. And Nikki, we'll turn it to you.
Thank you. You should be seeing the Wasatch Choice workshops map. As Mayor Ramsey just mentioned, we had 10 regional sub-regional Wasatch Choice workshops this past fall that happened between October and December. And these were really designed for local government leaders and key staff in different areas to talk about transportation, land use, economic development opportunities, and challenges that individual communities are facing in collaboration with Wasatch Front, UDOT, UTA, the League, and UAC. As I mentioned earlier, there were 10. We could have done one, but the reason why we have 10 is because the challenges in growth and transportation that one subregion may face is really different from another. So, you know, what is happening in North Weber County is not necessarily the same issues that Southeast Salt Lake County is facing. So the workshop reports and the presentations are really tailored in addition to the data that we provided. So I'll just walk you through this summary report that Ted just shared. In total, we had about 350 community participants, not including agency staff and partners, participate. We had about 60 communities, 30 mayors and city managers. And the agenda followed a pretty general, the data is unique to the area, but it really provided a general overview of the Wasatch Choice regional vision, as the mayor had just described, the impacts to COVID-19 transportation implementation, what that process looks like, in addition to local implementation. And we also provided additional resources, which Ted will talk more about. But this is what we really spent a great deal of time talking through these workshops with each other. And the purpose of having the discussing the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision is is to have that reminder and reintroduction to the vision, which is the basis of the collaboration and involvement of all the communities. And it's the benefits of these are, as you can see, are listed over here to the right, which are really based on those four strategies of providing transportation choices, housing options, preserving open space, and linking economic development with transportation housing. We wanted to really emphasize that, especially with this last year, we're doing everything all online. We wanted to have an opportunity to also talk about the impacts of COVID-19 to communities, land use, and to transportation. So one of the things that we did prior to the workshops was put out a pre-polling question to all the participants and asked two questions, one of which was related to COVID-19. And we asked, what are the potential long-term impacts of COVID-19 on transportation, land use, and economic development that you see? And we got 110 responses, which was great. And then from the workshops, the 10 workshops, we kind of boiled it down to three different things. And these three things are, we recognize, and these are comments from you and your communities, that you're recognizing that the way that we're traveling is gonna change. So especially with telecommuting flexibility and having more trips to locally, these are changing our landscape. We also recognize that there's an increase in online shopping, which may impact brick and mortar retail and potentially change land use spaces. The last item that we noticed was respondents noticed was that COVID is impacting businesses in a lot of ways, and the financial outlook of cities will really change depending on how these disruptions are impacting them. The second item that I wanted to mention is the transportation implementation piece. This is really where we asked during the pre-poll, what are the obstacles to addressing transportation needs in your areas, not including but not limited to the funding needs. And from the responses we got, it really boiled down to these three. The transit needs in the region is really important and an obstacle that we're seeing, not only just improving transit options, but reducing transfers, making it more attractive, finding ways to bring it into your communities. The second item is having better connectivity, not just within communities, but also between them. And the third, from the challenges that we saw, was engaging with citizens and trying to get community buy-in on projects. And TED actually has some resources that will help with this process. And the third item that we talked about was really local implementation. And this is checking back in on the lesser known requirements of SB 34, particularly on the emphasizing of land use and transportation element and investment. So what we, this is really important because it really speaks back to the Wasatch Choice Regional Vision. As I mentioned earlier, those four strategies where you want to, interlink the economic development, transportation, housing, and decision. So we wanted to ask communities where they were in the process, particularly with transportation and how they're looking at these in their plans and in their communities, and had actually a polling. And through the polling for all 10 workshops, consistently, most of the communities responded yes, that they were already looking at elements of active transportation, transit investments, and all these things. And it was good to know that they were already had it in place or were working towards this. And last, I just want to highlight that, we have other themes that were provided. And then we also have all the list of presentation resources Like I mentioned, the data on COVID-19 was specific to the counties. So if you are interested, you can click through these. Also the information on COVID-19 and the barriers to transportation implementation, those were also unique based off of the pre-polling that we gathered. And you can find all this information on the workshop summary report. So I will hand it over to Ted to talk more about the resources that the Wasatch Choice Working Group has provided, and it's also provided in the link in this report as well.
Thanks, Nikki. I appreciate that. I assume you all can hear me. You know, these were such a great set of discussions across the region. And what we heard at a really high level is, you know, communities are working on responding to the challenges of growth and housing affordability and integrating their plans with regional infrastructure. They're in the middle of it. And it takes time. It takes a lot of time. And the stories that we heard in the discussion was, hey, you know, we've been working on things, but, you know, we have community concerns that we need to work through. We try something, we need to adjust, these kinds of things. And so we feel like coming out of the workshops, it's really helpful for us to do a couple of things. One is really quantify and tell the story, hey, what are communities doing? What have they been doing over time? And package that and share it so that communities can understand and learn from each other. And also the broader community can get a sense of how communities in the Wasatch Front through the Wasatch Choice have really been working on these issues over time. One, that piece. So we're gonna do a questionnaire that's out there. We'll package that and get it back to you in the next month. And the other is, a qualitative piece. Let's drill down into, let's say, 10 or so communities and capture the lessons learned from those communities in the process of implementation. So that's a couple of things we're doing following up on the workshops. Now I'll just spend a minute or two on new resources from Wasatch Choice partners, and then I'll hand it back to you, Mayor Ramsey. This is where I fumble with trying to share my screen. It's something that we do. Okay, slideshow. It helps when I talk to myself about what I'm doing. All right, so hopefully you see what I'm looking at. These went out in December, newly released Wasatch Choice resources. You know, what is so cool about these is they were developed from a broad group of partners. All of the different organizations that Mayor Ramsey mentioned support Wasatch Choice, including local governments, got together in working groups to drill down on public engagement and communications resources, technical assistance, data. A piece of this was released in December, just a minute or two on this. One is a public engagement guidebook. This captures best practices that have been honed in Utah on ways to structure engagement so that it's really effective and has residents grapple with the trade-offs of policymaking. As well as it, the second big piece, this difficult conversation starter, is this idea that, hey, you know, we get really hard questions from the public, from each other about the pros and cons of different decisions and the challenges associated with housing and density and transportation. And it's complicated stuff, right? Wouldn't it be nice if we had a concise set of statistics, suggestions on ways to approach a difficult conversation, leading with listening? You see this listen, learn, lead. So I'm not going to drill down into this, but this, you'll find that this is a really good wealth of resources, but it's aiming to be concise. And then that third piece, the key messages is, you know, we've been working together under the Wasatch Choice framework to understand how housing and transportation and economic development, how they fit together. And let's relay those encapsulated messages. So that's one of the things that was released in December. We brought together all of the different technical assistance resources that local governments can utilize across the state, a working list that was released. And then lastly, what we aim to do is provide a suite of data pieces that local governments could use when you are updating your general plan. So this is aiming to save you money. You know, you could hire a consultant to do this kind of data collection, but we thought, well, let's get together with the Wasatch Choice partners and capture some of this. So this is things like access to opportunities. You know, if you're thinking about where would housing for a workforce make more sense or less sense in my community? Well, one of the inputs into that is how well do different areas help people get to the places they want to go. So this map on the left shows you, all things being equal, oranger, redder areas means households in those locations can get to more stuff. But we're also capturing, well, what's the change between now, that map, and the future, which is this map on the right. There's a whole bunch of different maps for firms, maps by transit access to opportunity. What about parks? Where are the gaps in your community for people that want to be able to walk or bicycle to a park? And also inputs into active transportation planning. This is one of the required elements of Senate Bill 34. As you know, this map that you're looking at answers the question, hey, what is the experience today on the road network as a bicyclist? Which are those roads, red in this case, that you wouldn't really want to ride on unless you're the very most confident cyclist and it really dissuades people from bicycling? Which of those corridors do we want to move into a more comfortable situation? So this is just giving you a flavor of the pieces of data that were captured in December. And so we're really excited about that data set. Your planners are working on the questionnaire that I mentioned. We're going to release this package of quantified and qualitative stories of moving forward and dealing with growth in COVID-19. Look for that in February. And Mayor Ramsey, I'll turn it back to you unless there's any questions.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate that. If anybody has a question, give us a wave. Otherwise, okay.
So, Mayor, I'm just going to say, while we're still on your committee report, and to you, Ted, as well, that public engagement guidebook is actually an excellent tool. That's one of the one of the biggest challenges that you know those of us in local government face in terms of trying to explain what we're trying to do with some of this planning and to try to explain, you know, the growth and where it's coming from and why we can't just ignore it or push it off to some other neighboring jurisdiction to deal with. We have a part to play as well. So I think that's, you know, that's critically important. And thanks for providing us with that tool. You know, the surveys that have been done, you know, by the League of Cities and Towns show that, you know, people actually trust their local government more than any other level of government still. So, you know, the public engagement piece is probably why, but this will help us be honest with our communities and give us some tools to help deal with some of their concerns. So,
Mr. Chair, if I may, quality of life, honestly, having the adequate infrastructure and the appropriate planning to maintain the high quality of life that we enjoy here in Utah as we continue to grow is the goal. It's the goal for everyone. It's what Utahns want. And a lot of our constituents maybe don't articulate that exactly, but I believe it's at the heart of what a lot of what we hear from people. It comes down to people want to maintain the quality of life and maintain the investment that they've made in their home and their family living here in Utah. That is the aim of this Wasatch Choice Plan. We have excellent people working, just really working hard to try to help that happen. And you are all part of that. Thank you to each of you. If you feel like there's more you want to do to be engaged in that plan, there's plenty of opportunities. We all have a part to play. And it'll be our own faults if we choose not to, because those of us who have the privilege of being part of this should, as we represent our constituents and our different organizations, we have the chance to really have a voice in helping to make sure that the future of Utah is what we want it to be. and as good as it possibly can be, the best it can be. So with that, thank you to all of you for your service. Thank you to the staff at WFRC and to each of you, all of you who are part of this. And that is the end of my report.
And sorry, Mayor, if I could.
Muted. So now let's turn to our new vice chair, Box Elder Commissioner Jeff Scott, who's also the chair of the Transportation Coordinating Committee. Jeff, take it away.
Mr. Silvestrini, I think Trustee Holbrook wanted to make a comment. Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. I didn't want to really digress too much. I just wanted to acknowledge Ari Gruning is on the Ari's on the call as well, I believe. I thought I saw him on here somewhere, and he was one of the co-chairs and did a great job. So, and I think the other co-chairs were Eileen Barron and Tom Carter briefly, although he had to cut his short. He had a he has a new role with Governor Cox's administration, and then myself. So thank you to all of those people who really worked really hard.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Commissioner Scott, or no, who do you say was going to do this? No, that was
Commissioner Scott. You got it.
Commissioner Scott. So I don't see you on my screen, but hopefully you're here.
I'm here.
Okay. There you now. Now you are. All right.
Yeah, you might need a bigger screen when we get this big of a group. So thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking forward to working with you, and appreciate the opportunity that I've had to chair the Transcom committee for the last couple of years. Really wanted to thank Wayne Bennion and Ben Withrich. They're exceptionally prepared for every single one of these meetings. Well before we get here, they have done all of the research, looked over all of the projects. Appreciate those that are on the technical advisory committees, primarily our city and county planners that go over these in detail as well and have the information to us in a way that we can understand it when we get to the Transcom meeting. So thank you to them. We had a great meeting in November and informative as always. And as a result of that meeting, we do have a couple of items to bring before the council today. And so I'll go ahead and turn the time over to Ben to discuss those items. And then after that, if it's okay, we'll turn some time over to Wayne to talk a little bit about federal funding. So Mr. Withrich, take it away.
Thank you very much. We have the opportunity today, maybe just for a little review for those who might be new. Just as a slight review. So the Transportation Improvement Program, if the slideshow will begin. Here we go. So the Transportation Improvement Program, or it's commonly referred to the TIP, and there's a statewide Transportation Improvement Program that's referred to as the STIP. And sometimes these acronyms get a little mixed up. But today we're going to talk about the TIP. And in particular, we're going to talk about the 2021-2026 TIP, or TIP 2126. The Transportation Improvement Program, or the TIP, is a six-year program of highway and transit projects for the Salt Lake, West Valley, and the Ogden-Layton urbanized areas. So essentially from Brigham City down to Utah County. It is a compilation of projects from the various federal, state, and local funding programs for all the cities and the counties in the region, as well as for the Utah Department of Transportation, or UDOT, and the Utah Transit Authority, or UTA. The TIP Ben, helps Ben, our projects.
Ben, excuse me, I'll interrupt you for just a moment for our new members who did not see Morgan and Tooele counties on that list. That's because the lead for programming funds for Morgan and Tooele is through UDOT. We, WFRC, work through the RPOs, the rural planning organizations, with those counties, but they are not in the urbanized areas that Ben is referring to along the Wasatch Front. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. Hi, sorry about that. So the projects in the TIP included in the program, they'll implement the long range highway and the transit plans and the active transportation projects for the region. They also help meet the short range needs of the area and provide for the maintenance of our existing transportation system. Due to the dynamics of the transportation funding and the projects, it becomes necessary to amend or modify the TIP periodically throughout the year, essentially every month. And because the regional council does not always meet every month, you've delegated the responsibility to Transcom to approve modifications to the TIP when there's no council meeting. So as mentioned by the commissioner, Commissioner Scott, there are two items today. The first will report on the approved board modifications of Transcom on their meeting on November 12th. And then we have the opportunity to review and approve a new board modification to the 21-26 Transportation Improvement Program. So in your meeting materials, there was a copy of the signed resolution, and attached to that resolution are two tables that list the projects of the board modification. The first table lists two projects that required an adjustment to their scope and their funding. A project on 24th Street Viaduct from A Avenue to Lincoln Avenue, and a project on I-84 from SR 66 to the Summit County line. On the second sheet, or the second table, it shows a new project from UTA. This is a safety research and demonstration project. And it also highlights some changes or some updates to the transit tables, which were initially approved on a 2025 table format and were updated to a 2026 table format with minor adjustments that were consistent with project accounting updates. So this agenda item was for your information only. Were there any questions on any of these? If not, let me move on then to the 5B, and this is a board modification to the 2021-2026 TIP. Also included in your meeting materials is a copy of the resolution. And attached to that resolution is a copy of the table. This table identifies both projects. First project we'll talk about is the Little Cottonwood Canyon Environmental Impact Study. It's an EIS. This project was funded from the Recreational Hotspot Program to identify long-term solutions to improve the safety and reliability and mobility of SR 210. It began in 2018 to develop alternatives to meet these goals. However, meeting these goals while meeting the needs of local stakeholders, it proved to be a very complex project. And in 2022, additional alternatives were added to ensure the stakeholders' concerns were heard and addressed while seeking the most viable solutions. The work for these additional alternatives included development design and screening of additional alternatives, additional public outreach, such as council meetings, open houses, stakeholder meetings, etc., travel demand modeling for the screening of additional alternatives, developing the draft and final EIS, including the record of decision, the funding for in-house engineering and legal counsel, the funding for the design of the high T intersections and the auxiliary lanes projects that were in Cottonwood Canyon Cottonwood Communications Program that were previously completed. To complete these activities, the EIS will need an additional $1.8 million from the Little Cottonwood Canyon Recreational Hotspot Project. The next project that we would like to look at, I was slow on my finger pushing. Any questions on this project? Then the next project we have is a UTA public transit. This is a real-time public transportation innovation program. This is funds for a demonstration project for the transit infrastructure condition assessment. Back on November 30th of 2020, the Federal Transit Administration announced competitive grant funds to six projects in six states for real-time infrastructure and rolling stock condition assessment demonstration program to support infrastructure, innovation, and safety in the transit industry. The Utah Transit Authority, UTA, was selected as one to receive the funding to develop an optical imagery system to monitor the condition of the regional commuter rail system. The intent is that once identified as a good deal, that a fully developed program will help UTA maintain a state of good repair and provide long-term monitoring of track and rail tie conditions. This new grant is for $338,000 plus with the UTA local match of $84,000 plus for a new project total cost of $422,694. That would be all of this board modification.
Well, still muted. Very good. Thank you, Ben. Does anybody from the other council have any questions on either one of these board mods or the mod that's been requested? Guess not. Ben did an excellent job as usual explaining these. Since these are modifications to the existing TIP, the council would need to take action. Mr. Chair, I would make a motion that we accept these modifications to the 2021-2026 TIP.
Thank you, Commissioners. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a second from Carlton Christensen. And any further discussion? Then all in favor, wave your hand or say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, Commissioner, those are approved. Thank you. Anything
very
else?
Good. Yeah, we did have Wayne Binion that was going to federal funding, but he had an appointment. So Ben is going to be pinch hitting for him. So you're at it again, Ben. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you. So you may be aware that as part of the Coronavirus Response and Relief Supplemental Appropriations Act, or something maybe I'd refer to as CERSA, that additional transportation funding is being apportioned to each state, and with a portion of that sub-allocated to MPOs with a population over 200,000. We're waiting for final guidance, but the amount allocated to WFRC is approximately $12 million. And as with previous supplemental appropriations, we're intending to treat these funds as surface transportation program funds, which will accelerate WFRC's programs so that more projects can be programmed and funded. Transcom and the Regional Council will both be directly involved as we move through the process. Are there any questions for this information?
Thank Dan, you. Will they just go on the current list, or will it include things maybe that people have applied for that have not yet been awarded?
If it's our intention, so like in the past, we've brought these funds into the program and accelerated the projects that were currently already programmed that had gone through the evaluation process that were identified, reviewed, and recommended by the Regional Council. That would free up the back end of the program, which will allow us to program new projects, backfilling in behind with the SDP funds that are currently in the program.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Carlton. Any other questions for Ben? Okay, thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I believe that concludes our business with Transcom today. Thanks, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for service. So, well, I think, you know, my first failure as chair is to not be able to deliver to you all a report from the Active Transportation Committee. Uh-huh. And so there will be no roasting of council members or cyclists. And I regret that Mayor Sobelum can't be with us today. I know that we all look forward to that report each time. It makes these long meetings worthwhile, but just have to wait till next time. So, with that, I will turn it over to our Executive Director, Andrew. Would you give us your report, please?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I want to say congratulations to our new Vice Chair,
Commissioner Scott, who's turning over the gavel for Transcom to Mayor Shepherd. But thank you very much, Mr. Vice Chair. I've got a few things I want to share with you today. The first, I want to introduce somebody who you may already know, but that's Robert Stewart. Robert is with us. He is the new Region 2 Director for UDOT. As you all know, this is really important, these region directors. Region 2 is Salt Lake County and Tooele County, at least in our area. And Robert, I'm looking around for him. I want to give him just a moment to say hello to y'all.
Yeah, thank you. I'll forego the 20 slide PowerPoint that I have to introduce myself that I've been giving frequently. I'm a 20 year vet with UDOT. I've been in a number of positions, most recently operations and construction. I really look forward to working with WFRC and all of the members on transportation solutions. I'm married. I have two daughters that drive me nuts each and every day. I do have a weird sense of humor, so if you think I'm joking, I probably am. But one thing that I am passionate about, and one thing that keeps me going here at UDOT, and for me, this isn't just false words, it's our mission of enhancing quality of life through transportation. I really believe in that. I really believe in connecting communities through transportation. And I'm really thrilled to be able to be in a position where I can help influence them. So thank you.
Robert, thank you very much. Hopefully everybody will get to, in Salt Lake County and Tooele County, will get to know Robert. The region staff does a great job of working with the communities. Rob White is the Region 1 director in Davis, Weber, and Box Elder for purposes of our region, and they do a great job. Rob, could you do us a favor? Just drop your contact info for folks into the chat so people know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah. Thank you. One other thing, if I may, really quick, is to introduce Nate Peterson. You all may know Nate from Region 1. He is the new Region 2 Deputy Director, and I think that he's on the call. But one other thing I forgot to add, and I can't believe I forgot to add this, is just that, you know, I bring University of Utah representation to the Region 2 Director's Office. Lisa, Brian Adams, a number of people before me weren't representing very well. And so I'm also very eager to bring University of Utah representation.
Thank you. Thanks for flying your colors. And you guys, the two of you, make a great team in director and deputy director. So thanks both of you for joining us today. Now I actually have something that's exciting to me to share with you all. And that is, I want to introduce you to a new WFRC employee, maybe not new to many of you, but new to joining our team as of Monday. Marcia White is going to be joining WFRC as our regional economic development planner. The reason I say many of you may know Marcia is because she's currently a member of the Ogden City Council, involved with the League of Cities and Towns. She has background working with cities on community and economic development as a consultant. You'll all get a chance to know and work with Marcia as time goes on, but the interaction between economic development, transportation, land use, housing, all of these things together under the broad banner of the Wasatch Choice. And Marcia is going to be helping us and all of you on having an economically prosperous region going forward. So Marcia is here somewhere, and there she is. She's waving, and we welcome her. Marcia, thanks. Now, one other nice thing I get to do is Marcia's a new employee, but now I get to recognize one of our terrific long-serving employees. Susie Swim is here somewhere also. Susie, say hello so you pop up on the screens there for a sec.
Hello.
There you go. Susie has been working at WFRC for 15 years of great service with us. She's a core part of our top-notch analytics group. Now, Susie's role is she leads the use of our travel demand model to evaluate future travel patterns and demands and the impacts of projects. So this travel demand model is key to conducting transportation studies. And it's also one of the foundational elements to building our regional transportation plan and unified transportation plan. She's also an expert in GIS and mapping. On a personal level, Susie is, it burns me to admit this, but she's the past champion of numerous WFRC bowling and basketball competitions. I've lost out to Susie a bunch of times and it still burns me. I'll say she also was recently recognized for her having the most creative route that Bert's going to show us for the WFRC 2020 Thanksgiving Turkey Trot Challenge. So there you go. That takes dedication to do a turkey trot and have it come out like that. I couldn't do it. She's more talented than the average human. So thank you, Bert. I'll just note that on a personal level, again, it's really a pleasure to work with Susie. We value her expertise, her experience, and her camaraderie. So join me in a round of applause thanking Susie for her 15 years of dedicated service.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susie. Okay, I have one more thing, Mr. Chair, that I want to talk about, that is the issue of equity. So equity is an issue that has been discussed in our region and around the nation for a great deal over the past year, and it's a challenging issue. And part of what we mean when we talk about equity, to borrow from Governor Cox, is opportunity for all. So this can apply to communities that have historically faced discrimination, such as racial minorities, but could also mean low-income communities, elderly people, people with disabilities. And providing opportunity for all matters to us, right? It matters from a moral perspective. In Utah, I think we pride ourselves on being a caring community. But it also relates to our Wasatch Choice vision, the goals that we have for the region, access to economic and educational opportunities, livable and healthy communities, quality transportation choices, housing choices, and affordable living conditions. But I'll note it also relates to what we do not want to be as a region. I think most of you know that I moved here from Chicago, which has many wonderful attributes, but it's also a very segregated place with deeply entrenched poverty. And if we can provide opportunity for all here in Utah, it helps not just those marginalized communities. It also benefits all of us from having a capable workforce to lower costs in healthcare, criminal justice, and social welfare to more community cohesion. So, over the past several months, our staff at WFRC has been doing an internal review to evaluate our activities and our programs, our regional planning processes, and our public engagement efforts, because we want to make sure that we understand the impacts of our plans and our programs on different communities in the region. In our shared work here at WFRC, you know that one of the metrics we use to evaluate transportation and land use strategies is access to opportunities. How easily can people access jobs or school or shopping, nature, healthcare from their homes? And how easily can a business access customers and workers? So these questions, of course, are not limited to issues of equity. They're relevant to all of our communities and the overall prosperity of our region. But we know that when people have good access and connections to key destinations like jobs and school, it actually translates into improved upward socioeconomic mobility. Another key issue is making sure that we get input from different communities and stakeholders in our region. And to that end, we're working with our partners at UDOT, UTA, and MAG to establish a Wasatch Choice Community Partners Equity Advisory Group, where all the transportation agencies can share information and seek feedback from affected communities. Now, we don't yet know exactly where all of this work will lead, but we'd like to have further conversations with you, with the members of the council who are interested in moving this work forward. We're all committed to a caring, inclusive approach that seeks to provide opportunity for all. So thank you for listening and being engaged in this important work. Mr. Chair, that concludes my executive director's report. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Andrew. I think on that last topic, this is just another reflection of what an excellent organization this is and what an excellent staff you run and that you've got your priorities in the right place, I think. So thanks for that work. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, Okay, so that I believe concludes our business. I want to mention that you know, all of us are required, as public officials are required, to view or become educated in the Utah Open Meetings Act. And we have a video that we're going to show at the conclusion of this meeting. And I know that a number of us get exposed to this in a number of different capacities. So, you know, it's not required. We aren't going to take attendance. But if you are interested in viewing it, I do encourage you to do it. It is a requirement that we all get it in some form each year. So we will play that. And, you know, otherwise, before that, we will take a motion to adjourn. But I want to thank everybody for your participation and for the time today and you know, for advancing the work of this organization, which I think is really worthwhile. So thanks for that. And I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, I think we're adjourned. We don't need to vote on that. So roll the film.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Andrea, I'm not getting the sound coming through.
When you share it, just before you share it, there's a box in the lower left-hand corner. If you click it, it should come through.
So stop your share, restart it. And at the bottom left, there's a couple buttons that will tell you to optimize for computer sharing. Of course, this worked earlier, everyone.
It worked perfectly fine. Okay. Can you hear it?
No.
No.
Oh, for heaven's sakes. Did you see the two check boxes, Rosie?
Yep.
Let me see if I can get it up.
Still?
No.
All right, I will send you the link.
And then, well, yes, and I can probably get to it too. Oh, well. Are we? All right.
So what's the Open and Public Meetings Act? It's the state law that ensures government actions and deliberations are openly conducted. Before we continue, keep in mind that this video is an overview, and exceptions may exist based on your entity type. So what's considered an open and public...
Oh my gosh!
...public meeting? It's when a governing body majority meets to discuss or act upon government business. It includes the meetings sometimes referred to as workshops or executive sessions. Regular meetings, public hearings, electronic meetings, and emergency meetings are all open and public meetings. Open and public meetings don't include chance or social meetings. A public hearing is a type of open and public meeting where citizens have a reasonable opportunity to speak. Public hearings happen when a government adopts a budget or imposes or increases taxes or fees. An electronic meeting is a type of open and public meeting that's convened electronically, such as via phone or the internet. Remember, the governing body must adopt a resolution, rule, or ordinance allowing and governing electronic meetings. An open and public meeting may be closed to discuss any of the following: a person's character, competence, or health, security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, collective bargaining, litigation, purchase, sale, or lease of property if an open discussion would prevent the entity from completing the transaction on the best terms, investigations of criminal misconduct, and private or protected information per the Utah Procurement Code, including trade secrets. Two-thirds of the governing body need to vote yes to close a meeting. Quick math lesson. 2 divided by 3 equals 66.7%. Let's say your governing body has 5 members. If 3 out of the 5 members vote yes, that equals 60%, which is not equal to or greater than 66.7%, which means you're 1 member short and instead need 4 out of 5 members to vote yes. During a closed meeting, a governing body can't interview someone applying to fill an elected position, discuss filling a midterm vacancy or temporary absence, discuss the character, competence, or health of a person whose name was submitted for consideration to fill a midterm vacancy or temporary absence, or approve any ordinance, resolution, rule, regulation, contract, or appointment. If a closed meeting is discussing a person's character, competence, or health, or security personnel, devices, or systems deployment, no recording or minutes are required. However, the presiding member needs to sign a sworn written statement stating such. If the closed meeting is held for any other reason, a recording must be made. Emergency meetings may be held to discuss an urgent matter due to unforeseen circumstances. In order to hold the meeting, the best notice that's feasible is provided of the time, location, and topics to be considered. An attempt is made to contact all governing body members, and a governing body majority approves the meeting. Entities that hold regular meetings need to provide notice at least annually of the year's meeting schedule. As always, the notice must include date, time, and place. For entities that don't hold regularly scheduled regular meetings, 24 hours notice must be provided. All meetings, whether regularly scheduled in advance over the course of the year or scheduled as needed, must provide no less than 24 hours notice of meeting agendas. If a public hearing is held, public notice requirements change. Make sure to distinguish between regular meeting notice requirements and public hearing notice requirements. For regular meetings, an entity is only required to notify a newspaper and doesn't need to pay to publish a notice. For public hearings, notice must be published in at least one issue of a newspaper. If a newspaper of general circulation isn't available, written notice is posted in 3 public places within the entity's boundaries. Regular meetings require 24 hours notice. Public hearings require 7 days notice. For both regular meetings and public hearings, written notice must be posted at the principal office of the governing body, or, if no such office exists, at the building where the meeting will be held. Governing bodies must also provide notice of open and public meetings on the Public Notice website at publicnotice.utah.gov. By posting on the website and providing the email of the local newspaper, governing bodies can also meet the requirement to notify a newspaper. However, other requirements such as publishing in a newspaper still apply. Typically, posting on the public notice website is done by the records officer, recorder, or clerk. However, it's the governing body's responsibility to ensure notice is provided. State Archives has prepared a training manual and quick guide for owners and posters, as well as training videos that can be accessed at their website at archives.utah.gov. If your entity is increasing a fee or undergoing truth in taxation for a property tax increase, be aware that there are additional notice and posting requirements. Public meeting agendas need to include reasonably specified topics to be considered, with each topic listed under a separate agenda item on the meeting agenda. The governing body may not consider a topic in an open meeting that wasn't on the agenda. If a new topic not on the agenda is raised by the public during an open meeting, the governing body may discuss the topic. However, final action may not be taken on the new topic during that meeting. Meeting minutes and an audio recording are required for all open meetings, with limited exceptions. When an open or closed meeting is required to be recorded, it must be unedited and contain all the portions of the meeting. Recordings of open meetings must be made available within 3 days. Every entity needs to establish procedures for the governing body's approval of minutes. Pending minutes are written minutes prepared in draft form and are subject to change before being approved by the governing body. Pending minutes must contain a clear indication such as a draft or pending watermark, that the governing body hasn't yet approved the minutes and that they're subject to change. Pending minutes must be made available within 30 days. Approved minutes are written minutes of a meeting that have been approved by the governing body. Approved minutes are the official record of the meeting and must be made available within 3 business days. Whoever is responsible for taking the minutes during meetings, typically the records officer, recorder, or clerk, needs to be familiar with what OPMA requires be contained in the minutes. When a governing body closes a meeting, the following must be publicly announced and entered into the minutes of the open meeting at which the closed meeting was approved. The reason or reasons for holding the closed meeting, the location where the closed meeting will be held, and the vote of each member of the governing body either for or against the motion to close the meeting. The recording and any minutes must include the date, time, and location of the meeting, the names of the governing body members present and absent, and the names of all others present except where disclosure would infringe on the confidentiality necessary to fulfill the original purpose of closing the meeting. For more information, access our local government resource center at resources.auditor.utah.gov.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good afternoon.